Actually, I'm going to read three scriptures. If you'll find the first one and read along with me, I'll speed up a little bit. So if I get ahead of you, don't worry about it. I'm going to come back to these scriptures. But I'm basing my message today on three separate texts, all in the Gospels, all the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9 is the first place we'll read. If you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Then I'll read also from Matthew 14, 27. That won't be hard. You'll just turn a couple of pages to that one. But then I'll go to John chapter 16, verse 33. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." In Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, it's going to sound similar, but different situation. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them," the disciples, and I'll just tell you here that they are out on the boat in the middle of a storm, in the darkness of night, and Jesus is coming to them, walking on the water. And now he says to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." John chapter 16, verse 33. One of Jesus' last sermons to his disciples. A lengthy discourse with lots of things necessary to us. But among them, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I don't know if you saw the similarities there, but all three of those scriptures contain the phrase, "be of good cheer." Three of them. So I want to preach to you this morning on three cheers for the new year. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, cheers may make you think of different things. When you hear three cheers, some of you may be tempted to say, "hip, hip, hooray," three times in a row. That's not what I'm talking about. Cheers, to some of you may think of just a few nights ago on New Year's Eve, the numbers of people that put their glasses together and cheered in the new year. And I hope you don't fall out with me, but I did that myself. Whoa, that got quiet. Now let me explain. Well, first of all, we didn't have plans for the New Year's Eve event. We were just going to be at home, so we volunteered to keep the grandsons, all three of them. And for you that don't know, our youngest grandson, Brandon and Trina's boy, is 2 years old. And our daughter Jessica and her husband Tim have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. So we had the 2-year-old, 3-year-old, and 5-year-old for New Year's Eve. So that, you know, the moms and dads could go and hang out with friends or do whatever they wanted to do. So we had a New Year's Eve party with our grandsons. We had sliders, you know, those are little tiny hamburgers, and French fries, and chips and dip. Man, we had it. It was great. Doesn't that sound like a party to you? And then we got out the grape juice, and we didn't stay up till midnight. They were all in bed somewhere between 9 and 9:30, praise the Lord. But we're gathered around the table, and I hope that you don't think this is too worldly of a custom, but it was all just in fun. And so I said, "Okay, boys, now we need to put our cups together and say Happy New Year." So they're all around the table. LaDonna and I were the only one with glasses. Everybody else had sippy cups. And we just clanked them all together and said, "Happy New Year." And they wanted to do it again. Clang. or more like a clunk, you know, the sippy cups. Happy New Year! And then they wanted to do it again. And so it was a lot of fun as we cheered in the new year at 9 o'clock at night with grape juice. And by the way, that's all we drink, you know, on New Year's Eve. So just want to make that clear. But I know that you may be thinking of that tradition when I speak of the word cheer. But this morning, when I talk to you about three cheers for the new year, let me just tell you that there were a lot of people that did clank their glasses together on New Year's Eve that had stuff other than grape juice in it. And they partied away the night, and when they woke up on New Year's Day, the first day of the new year, their lives were just as empty as they left their glasses the night before. I believe that Jesus is offering us some cheer here that is real, and it's meaningful, and it's lasting. We need these three cheers for the new year. Amen. Now let me just spend a couple of minutes here explaining this word cheer. It's an interesting word, actually. It's only found 10 times throughout the entire Bible. And three of the times are here in the Gospels, actually four, but Matthew and Mark both record one of Jesus' sayings here. So Jesus uses the word three times himself. And it's an interesting word. Now, when you at first glance, you might think that cheer is equivalent to joy and happiness, and it's similar. They're all cousins. They're in the same heritage of cheer and joy and happiness. And so when you read in the dictionary, Webster is going to lean that direction. In fact, he says that to cheer is to salute with shouts of joy. Or in another definition, cheer, according to Webster, means to dispel gloom, to dispel sorrow or apathy, and to cause to rejoice, to make cheerful, as in to cheer a lonely heart, or the cheering rays of the sun through the window, or good news cheers a sad heart, and so on. It also, according to Webster, means to infuse life or spirit, as in to encourage. That's why they're called cheerleaders at a game. They are cheering the team on to sort of add an additional level of life and spirit. Cheer up, my lads, we might say. And that is to encourage somebody that is going through some difficult times. Now, that's more of the way that Strong's defines the original Greek word. It means courage. It means to encourage through the means of using encouraging words. So when Jesus comes along and he says, be of good cheer, he is offering strong words of encouragement to give us courage through the difficult times of our life. And all three of these stories that we read from this morning, though we didn't get into the details yet, are all separate instances of people, individuals and groups who needed some encouragement from the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord knows exactly when we need that encouragement. We can almost hear the Lord saying, cheer up, friends. Amen. It's going to be better. Be of good cheer. It's going to be all right. Take courage. Rejoice. It's going to change. Amen. And so the Lord offers three cheers. And I'd like to say three cheers for the new year. Let me tell you what they are this morning based on these instances. Number one is the cheer of forgiveness. The cheer of forgiveness. I'm glad that the Lord cheers us on to forgiveness. Now, the story that we read here in Matthew chapter 9 is the story of a man who is sick of the palsy. He is a helpless man physically. He is incapable of walking or traveling any distance on his own. He's in a very bad condition. His body is nearly paralyzed. He is severely handicapped. But thankfully, he has four friends that care about him deeply. Four friends that recognize his inabilities, and four friends that know Jesus is able to help him. Now that's the kind of friends we all need. Hello? Praise God. Aren't you glad for friends that take us to Jesus when we're too helpless, amen, to carry ourselves? And so these friends volunteer to carry their friend to Jesus. When they get to the house where Jesus is teaching and preaching, the crowd is so large they can't get in through the doors or the windows. They simply can't get to him. But are they discouraged? No. Are they going to turn around and go back? No. Are they going to give up? No. They're going to carry their palsied friend to the top of the house and start tearing the tiles off the roof and lower their friend down by ropes into where Jesus is. Now that's determination. Ah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad for friends like that. Praise the Lord. And so here's this man. He's lowered down into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus, being aware of the situation now, he begins to speak. But this is what's interesting here. He doesn't say at first, be healed. He doesn't say at first, rise up and walk. The very first thing he says, and I'll read it again. Behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick man, the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. This is interesting and necessary today because it reminds us that while Jesus is interested in our physical well-being, he is more concerned about our spiritual well-being. Amen. While we continue to persist on seeking here in America after those things that we think are most important, health and wealth, Jesus is more interested in our personal salvation. Friend, I know that you want to be wealthy in the new year. Maybe you want to be healthy in the new year. Those may be honorable and reasonable goals. But God's perfect will for you, his first desire for you, is that your sins would be forgiven. Jesus is concerned about your personal salvation. He wants to save your soul and change your life. For he knows, and we all know, that really, we might be healthy and we might be wealthy, but if we don't have salvation soon, amen, we're going to bring upon us the same difficulties, maybe even worse than we had before. We need a change of heart. We need a change of nature. We need something to happen internally that gives us some hope for the future and for eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus sees this man in his helpless condition, I think that he may be dealing with some that are listening, that there are there in the crowd who may have made the assumption that this man is in this condition because of his sins. All right, if that's true, then let's remove the sins and go on to the healing. But I don't believe that that's what Jesus was saying. Because the fact is that our physical conditions are not necessarily the result of our sins. We are in a cursed world and bad things happen even to good people. But Jesus, I believe, looks inside the man. He looks beyond the withered limbs, the hands and legs that have been paralyzed for some time. And he knows that this man has been laying there on that bed for a long period of time and thinking about a lot of things. And I believe that that helpless man has forgotten all about his physical condition and he has turned his attention to his own inward struggles, his own knowledge of his own personal failures and sins. Maybe he has a secret a thought pattern that makes him wonder if God could ever forgive him and save him. And so Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter and deals with the thing that is on that man's mind first of all and says, be of good cheer. Amen. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. It gives me the impression that something was causing that man to be downcast other than his physical condition. This man was in a mental state that was overwhelming him. Maybe with great discouragements to the point of suicidal thoughts. We don't know. But something causes Jesus to blurt out to him, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Woo, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me tell you this morning that there are many people all around about us who are weighted down with guilt and shame and regret. And maybe even in this building this morning, some of you look back over 2012 and it brings to your minds all kinds of regrets. Maybe even shame and guilt. You're not proud of some of the choices you made and things that you did in the year that's behind you. You made some terrible decisions and it got you into a lot of trouble and you wish you wouldn't have done it. But the question is, will God forgive you of it? Can you get back to the Lord? Can you really live for God after you have done these horrible, sinful things? And the answer to that is, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but for a former long-haired hitchhiking hippie like me, amen, to hear that Jesus loves me with an everlasting love is good news. To know that even though I wasn't raised in church, though I, amen, didn't know anything about God, never went to Sunday school as a child, didn't participate in children's church like our kids are today, the fact of the matter is, when I finally came to Jesus, he said, be of good cheer, Mike. Your sins are forgiven you. Woo! Praise the Lord. Amen. To somebody like John Newton, amen, who wrote the song that we sang just a few minutes ago, the most famous songs of all songs in the Christian hymnal, Amazing Grace. That man was a sinner man, did everything wrong under the sun, including running a slave ship from Africa, amen, and he regretted the things that he had done to the point of despair, amen, on life and thinking that he couldn't live with the guilt and shame of the places he'd been and the things that he had done. But oh, John Newton, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Praise God. And he writes the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If you feel like a wretch this morning, you feel like your life is all messed up, I've got good news for you. Cheer up. Jesus is here and he's ready and willing to forgive you of all of your sins. Praise the Lord. Amen. But that's only one of the cheers. The second cheer is found in Matthew 14:27. Be of good cheer, he says to the disciples. They are out in a ship in a storm in the middle of the night. Amen. There has to be a lot of confusion in their minds because Jesus is not with them. And Jesus is the one that told them to get in the boat and go to the other side, and I'll meet you there. He knew that they were going into that boat. He had to have known that they were going into that storm. I don't know if they knew that he knew, but we put all the pieces together, and obviously he did, but I'll come back to that. Right now, amen, the winds are blowing. The waves are crashing. The boat's in trouble. They are going to sink in this storm. It's dark, and they are feeling overwhelmed by fear. And then on top of that, suddenly a ghostly figure appears walking on the waves. Now, at what point do you start screaming? Huh? The Bible even says that they thought it was a ghost or a spirit. They didn't recognize him at first. And so panic sets in. Panic from the storm and the dark. And now this apparition that appears before them and they can't understand it. There's confusion. There's fear. And then there's a voice that penetrates beyond the booming crash of thunder and lightning. And it is the voice of Jesus himself. And he's hollering to the boys in the boat, "Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I." Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to call this the cheer of reassurance. Amen. The cheer of reassurance. What some of you need as we go into the year 2013, as you look ahead and you see nothing but storms ahead, or maybe you're in the middle of a storm now, We look at the news and feel like we have temporarily averted the financial fiscal cliff, but we know the reality. Amen. Our country is in trouble financially. We are in trouble politically. We are in trouble in a lot of different ways. And it feels to us who know better that there is a storm brewing all around about us. But if we're not careful, a fear and confusion will try to settle in upon us. And I want to tell you this morning that I believe the Lord wants me to tell you this morning, be of good cheer. Amen. It is I. Be not afraid. Praise the Lord. For the child of God this morning, He is offering a deep and meaningful and lasting reassurance to help us through the difficult times of our life. We need this reassurance. We need to know somehow that everything's going to be all right because He is in control. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The disciples needed to know that. We need to know that. They needed answers. We need answers. They needed help. We need help. The words come leaping off the page at me today. Amen. As it did earlier this week, I was reading from an old book by the famous preacher Vance Havner when I came across this idea of cheer. Amen. And it came alive to me, and I hope that I can help you this morning and tell you that Jesus wants to cheer us up with reassurance. He wants to put His arm around our shoulders and pull us tight and let us know that He has got it all under control. Amen. Actually, this reassurance here in this scripture has three levels that I see. Amen. First of all, there's the reassurance of providence. Providence. That simply means that God knows ahead of time, and that God has a plan. Jesus knew that they were going into that storm. Jesus knows that they're in the storm now. Jesus knows where they are, and Jesus knows what they're going through. We need to take assurance today that God knows where we are, and He knows what we're going through. Would you help me preach just a few minutes this morning? Because I want you to be reassured with the providence of God, that because He is sovereign and He reigns over it all, it may look like it's out of control to us, but under the providence of God, He knows exactly what's happening. He knows exactly what's going on, and He's got a plan. Then there is the reassurance of presence. Amen. He comes to them. He comes to us. It's not just words, though the words are meaningful and they are important, and words do have significance. And that's why we read His word today. To hear Him say, be of good cheer, amen, is one thing. But for Him to say, it is I, and then get into the boat with us, that's another thing altogether. Thank God for the reassurance of His presence. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with us today. He's going to be with us tomorrow. He's going to be with us next week, my friend. And if you feel like there's some distance between you and Him, it's not that He's moved, or if He has allowed some distance for a season, it's only to drive home the very important reality that when He gets on board the boat, we will be all the more thankful for His presence. Amen. The reassurance of His presence and the reassurance of His power. He can calm this storm, and He does. Amen. Once again, we see that He is more concerned about the inner condition of those men first. He wants them to settle down. He wants them to overcome their fears. He wants them to take courage and have faith. Even in the midst of the storm, He addresses their fears first. But then eventually, He's going to speak to the winds and the winds obey. He's going to speak to the waves and the waves will settle down. And peace is going to come into the picture once again. I'm glad for the power of God this morning. He is still an almighty God. He is on the throne. He's able to calm the storm in your life. life. And you know what? I believe he will calm the storm in your life. But he's dealing with you first of all to get you settled down, to reassure you at his presence and his power. Amen. And his providence. Praise the Lord. And then there's this third cheer. And we're moving right along here. I'm going to be done soon. So please be thinking in your mind about coming to this altar and praying this morning about the problems of your life. Amen. As I tell you, finally, in John's gospel, where Jesus is preaching, and he looks ahead into the future, and he says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation," he says. It's a foregone fact. It's the reality of life. It's the sin-cursed world in which we live. "In this world ye shall have tribulation. But," he says, "be of good cheer." What? You just told us that we're going to have tribulation. But he says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise the Lord. You know what this is? This is the cheer of victory. This is the Savior encouraging us by his own triumph. He's reminding us of his, amen, conquering this world, so that when we feel defeated, we could run to him and feel victorious again. Praise the Lord. Our victory is not hinged upon our own accomplishments. Your victory is not built on your own talents, how much money you've got in the bank, the knowledge in your brain. Amen. That's not how we get the victory. It's not the strongest man wins. Come on now. We know better than that. Amen. If that's true, then the weakest and smallest among us would never experience victory. Like the little boy carrying his Bible to school every day, and the bully picking on him for being a sissy, carrying that Bible with him to school. Finally, one day, that little boy looks up into the face of that bully and he says, "If you think that this is easy, here, you carry it." Come on now. The reality is, to stand up for God, amen, brings persecution and misunderstandings, and not everybody agrees, and it's a difficult thing. But if you have to be big to survive, if you have to be tough and strong in order to have victory, then there's going to be many of us that will never have victory. But I declare to you today that my victory is not built on muscles or money, amen, but victory is built on what Jesus has done, what he has accomplished. And I take cheer this morning, courage this morning, because he has overcome the world. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus has overcome the world? And that means he overcame temptation in the wilderness. He overcame criticism. He overcame poverty. He had no material possessions, not even a place to lay his head. But he overcame that. Come on now. Amen. He overcame rejection. He came to his own, the Bible says, but his own refused him, rejected him. But he overcame it. He overcame humiliation and embarrassment and mockery. He overcame suffering. They beat him. They pulled the beard from his face. They spit upon him, put a crown of thorns upon his head, and nailed him to a cross. But he overcame the suffering. He overcame death. He overcame hell. He overcame the grave. He overcame Satan. He overcame hypocrites. He overcame, amen, false accusers. And I'm telling you this morning that based on that, we are overcomers too. If we connect with him, my friend, we are not losers. We're winners. Praise the Lord. I said we're winners. We come out victorious. We've read the back of the book. We know the end of the story. And we don't lose. We win, praise the Lord. And it's not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Be of good cheer, praise the Lord. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. We have tribulation in this world, sorrow, sickness, heartaches, financial hardships, persecutions, misunderstandings, and on and on and on. But don't you hear a voice saying to the depth of your soul today, cheer up, praise God, cheer up. Amen. I won and you're going to win. I overcame and you're going to be an overcomer. Well, Brother Blue, you really believe that? Yes, because I've read Romans 8:27. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Don't go around saying we're more than conquerors unless you complete the sentence. You are not a conqueror. Amen. As we've already said, in your own strength, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, because He overcame the world. We overcome also. Praise God. Hallelujah. You talk about cheers for the new year. Amen. The sound of those chinking glasses means nothing. But this, it means everything. The cheer of forgiveness. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. The cheer of reassurance. Be of good cheer. It is I. I'm with you. Praise the Lord. The cheer, amen, of knowing that the Lord has it all under control. Amen. And that we're going to win. It is the cheer of victory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together this morning and worship the Lord and thank Him for His promises for this new year. As we look ahead, amen, it's not just hip hip hooray, rah rah rah, go team go. No, amen, this is, He's forgiven us, that cheers us up. He is with us, that cheers us up. And He is overcome, and by all means that ought to cheer us up. Think of the soldiers near the end of World War II in the foxholes on the front line of battle. The smoke and dust of war all around them. Blood and guts and gore. Bullets flying overhead and around them for days, for weeks, for months. A weariness is settling in. One morning they wake up. Somewhere in a foxhole, the sun begins to dawn. The thought creeps in, must I fight another day? What's the use? Where's the strength? How can I do this? A weariness of soul settles in. It may take a while, but as the sun rises higher in the sky, they begin to realize today is different. There's a silence in the air. Where is the sound of moving tanks, footsteps, and gunshots? Suddenly a messenger comes in to the camp and hollers out, "The war's over!" Y'all with me? Be of good cheer! We won! What? Reinforcements came. The enemy's on the run. We won, praise the Lord. The war's over. That's what the Lord is saying to us this morning. My friend, you might feel like you've been hunkered down in a foxhole for weeks and months, but be of good cheer. Jesus has won. Amen. And the victory is yours today. You've got something to be happy about. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for these cheering verses today to give us courage for the new year. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to somebody this morning on one of these levels and cheer them up, Lord. In Your name and for Your sake, I pray. Thank You, God. I don't know how soon you have to leave, when the buses roll. Maybe I preached a little long. I'm not sure the time frame here. But surely you can take a moment to talk to God about something that He has said to you in this service today. If you're the one that needs forgiveness, please come to the Lord with the knowledge that he wants to forgive you. All you have to do is ask. Repent. Turn to him. Be of good cheer, son, daughter. Your sins are forgiven. That's what he wants to say to you. Bring it to the Lord this morning. Church, why don't you lead the way to the altar today? Become thinking about that need for victory in your life, that battle that you're going through. Take courage today. Be of good cheer. Take courage. He's going to work it out. You need reassurance. He wants to cheer you up today. He wants to give you good cheer with the reassurance that it's him. He's here. Don't worry. Don't panic. Spend a few minutes at the altar today. I understand that some of your workers may have to leave, but please don't be in too big of a hurry. This first Sunday of 2013 would be a good time for you to take hold of the promises of God and let him speak good cheer to you this morning. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. I'll forgive you. I'm for you.